My name is Erica Sullivan, and I am 100 years and 1 month. 2 months.
Do you get back to that? I remember as a kid, you know, one would say, someone would ask you how old you were born, and you'd say, I'm 5 1/2, because every month mattered. Does it? Are you counting months now as well?
Probably not.
Okay. All right. I don't want you to go over every single minute of your life, but there are some key things that I've been told about. Let's start, though, with where and when you were born.
I was born in San Candido, Italy.
And what year was that? Must have been
1915.
Okay. What kind of a place was that to grow up? Was it a city?
It was a ski lodge.
A ski lodge?
In the hills.
Uh-huh.
And there were no way to get there or from. So at that time, we didn't have public transportation. So Mother got caught up there, and it was too late for her to leave. So she had to wait until I was born.
Oh, really? So she went up there? Did she go up there to ski?
To ski, yeah.
Okay. And so you were born in a ski lodge?
Yeah. It wasn't this. I don't know what it was.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Do you ski? Did that cause you to ski?
I skied when I was a child, but not since then. My preferred way of motion was horseback riding.
Okay. So you were born there because
that came out as soon as I could.
And then where did you live then?
I lived in Belgium, in France, in Switzerland, in Germany. In England. I was about it.
The town where you first lived when you were a young girl, what was that like? Tell me about the town.
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
I remember until I was 5, I had a nana. That's all I remember.
Okay. Went to school? Go to high school as well? Or?
Yeah, I went to all sorts of schools.
Okay. And then how did you get the first thing people told me about was you having to escape from the Nazis. The Germans,
well,
whatever.
Not really.
Okay.
The Belgian king wanted every able-bodied man into France. And so my husband, who had to go. And I wasn't going to be caught alone.
So what happened?
I went with him.
You went with him?
Yeah. Everybody went down in France, and we went up. We wanted to get to England. But every port had been mined. So we spent from May 10th to sometimes in February in France, and then finally managed to get out.
And that time you were waiting to get out of Europe into England to get away
from? Yeah, we had no trouble coming here. We had trouble leaving.
Right, right.
Because the Germans didn't want anybody to leave. And everybody had, I don't know what you call it now, papers, each country, and of course they didn't have 1/10 the papers they needed. We didn't need any papers because nobody in Belgium wanted to leave. And I had also Italian thing, and the Mussolini didn't allow anybody to leave. So we had an open quota.
And so you finally were able to get to England from France.
From France, we went to Martinique. And from Martinique, we went to New York.
Oh, to New York, okay.
Yep.
When were you in England?
Before.
Before all this?
Yeah, before all this. I've never been back.
Okay. What place of the places that you visited did you like the best? Which country?
What I like best is Hawaii. I spent 10 years there.
Really? What were you doing there?
Working.
Doing what?
Accounting.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you and your husband got away from Europe.
We got away from Europe.
And somewhere someone told me something about riding on a tandem bike?
Yeah, because I've never learned to use a bike. Oh, so I was on the back of a tandem. It works.
Okay. And where were you traveling from and to when you were on the tandem bike?
We traveled from Brussels to the Basque Pyrenees. Have you ever heard of the Tour de France?
Yes.
It goes all the way down. And by that time, the Belgian government had caught up with us and sent us into a small village, 200 inhabitants, 300 cows. And we were there till September or October. Then it's the Basque Pyrenees and it gets cold. Yeah. And we had to go to Marseille because they had a consulate.
And when you say the Belgian government caught up with you, what does that mean? Do they?
That mean?
Do they send people out after you?
Well, they caught us and a few other people, but no Belgians. I think we were the only Belgians that they caught. Well, it meant we got money from them, and they wanted us to go certain places. And that meant, in that case, it meant that village. Which was all right until it got cold.
Yeah.
And we had to go to Marseille anyhow.
Okay. And what was in Marseille when you got there? Why'd you go there?
Well, in Marseille was a consulate who, when all the refugees dumped in, promptly moved to the coast as far as they could get.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so where did you move from Marseille then?
My husband, when he was in school, remembered a friend and figured there would be a village by his name. And we found the village and spent the winter there. We were the only refugees they had, so we did well.
Okay. And then you moved to, what did you say, Martinique? What was the island?
Martinique was because we were on an empty freighter, small empty freighter, and that was repatriating Martinique soldiers home. Okay. And so they had that in the Cale, and they had a group of German writers who the Pen Club got to New York. And that was the first time I became a feminist. My first question was, where are the female writers? There weren't any.
And what year was this you were a feminist?
1940.
Wow. You and Katharine Hepburn, huh?
That was fairly early, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so when did you make your way to the U.S.?
I beg your pardon?
When did you wind up in the U.S.?
I wound up in New York.
What year, 1940?
Okay. 1941.
41, okay.
Yeah, I got here in April and in September. The Japanese army, I think it was September or October, the Japanese army invaded Pearl Harbor.
That was December. December.
December.
Yeah. Okay.
I was in an elevator on Fifth Avenue, and people got on and told us.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so you came from this small area in Europe, and now you're in New York City. Now, New York City wasn't the New York City it is today, but it was still a busy city. What was your reaction when you first saw New York?
Very familiar. All the American movies, and we spoke English.
Were you overwhelmed at all by the... No. No. People, buildings, nothing overwhelmed you?
No.
Excellent. Okay. And how did the people seem? Were they nice or what?
Perfectly all right.
Okay. So what did you do in New York? You and your husband moved here. What did you do and what did you do?
My husband had been trying to hook up with the Belgian army. And, of course, Belgium had given up. And so he took out first papers and enlisted and went straight back.
Enlisted here?
Went straight back to Europe.
Oh, I'm saying, did he enlist here?
Yeah.
In the U.S. Army?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, he was, by that time, he tried everything to get into the Belgian army. And when he got to New York, they said, all right, now go to Canada and enlist. And by that time, he didn't want any part of it.
So right.
Took out first papers and enlisted.
And
sent him straight back.
And he wound up in the army going right back to Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. How did he do in combat? I'm presuming
he wasn't in combat. Oh. He was with the translation team.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
And did he enjoy that? Did he find that he was helping?
Oh, he spoke four languages, so it was helping.
What languages did he speak?
English, French, German, and Flemish.
Oh, and how many languages do you speak?
I spoke three. I now speak one.
Okay. What were the other two languages?
English, French, and German.
Okay. We were just reviewing our Spanish on the way up here. We learned Spanish in high school, and you know, if you don't talk this stuff, you don't remember it.
You don't use it, you lose it.
Right. So while he was in the war, you were in New York.
I was living in New York and in L.A.
In New York, you did what? What did you do for a living?
I was going to translate, and I didn't like it. So I went to business school, and after about 3 months, I said, how would you like a half-time job and just go to school half-time? And after 2 months of that, my job turned to full-time. And I went back and forth several times and worked.
Okay. What got you out to California? What made you go out there?
My mother was living in New York, and she wanted me to come home.
Okay.
Was probably the last thing I wanted.
So you went from New York to where?
To L.A. It was the furthest I could get in this country.
Okay, all right. And I understand when you got to L.A., you had some interesting jobs and experiences. What did you do in L.A.?
I did accounting. It was my job by then.
Okay, and did you work for Moretti Young?
Yeah, for about 5 years.
My mother loved Loretta Young. She used to have the Loretta Young show on. I remember when I grew up in the 60s, and it must have been reruns from the 50s, and my mother was always, oh, Loretta Young, she's so wonderful, and she always looks so young. What was she like to work for?
Totally professional. She could have done every job in the studio better than anywhere else. Personally.
So, being the feminist you had become by this point,
well,
you had those attitudes. Working with Loretta Young, I'm presuming she had similar attitudes for the time.
I don't know. We knew each other. We never got friendly.
Oh, so it was just a business relationship?
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But she was nice.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet anybody else as actors, directors, as a result of working with her?
Oh, I was in the industry from 55 to 68. I worked in a lot of places.
Quite a stretch there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you work for other people besides Loretta Young, or...?
For a while, I worked for, who's the guy who, the champagne king?
Lawrence Welk.
But somebody asked me, what is he like? And I said, I never met him.
You just did his books?
No.
Oh.
I was a different department.
Oh, okay.
And I had nothing to do with him.
Okay. All right. He's one of the few stars from South Dakota. They really like him here.
Yeah.
Okay, so while you were in Los Angeles, what was your husband doing? Did he get out of the Army and go there too?
Well, he got back in 45, and we divorced in 50.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He came back, and a man who had driven a car in Brussels and during the war took him 3 times to pass a driver's license, and then only because the guy who was working with him was an ex-GI, so he let him through. And then he handed me the keys and said, "You drive."
So were you a better driver?
He didn't know.
Okay. All right. So you divorced him, did you?
I divorced him 5 years later because he never... It was all, what would you like to do? Where would you like to do? He couldn't make any decisions.
So you felt better being on your own?
After 5 years of that, yes.
Okay. While you were out in Hollywood doing this work in L.A. And working for Loretta Young, whoever, now you're divorced, did you...
I decided never to get married again.
Okay, that's where I was going, and I was also going to ask, like, did... I don't know, I'm trying to think of the male stars of
it
the day.
It took me 8 years to change my mind.
Okay. So you didn't get married again. Did you see any young stars out there, guys that you found
interesting? Yeah, I almost got engaged once to somebody who was in... I think he was in the movies. He wasn't in television.
Okay. Anyone we would know?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Wasn't like John Wayne or somebody.
No.
Or Robert Mitchum.
That would have been better.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Anything would have been
John
better.
John Wayne came out just automatically.
Wouldn't do it.
I grew up with watching all those movies, Robert Mitchum and Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, of course.
I love them, yeah. They were real actors. Today it's... Anyway. Okay, so you stayed in the industry till the 60s. What'd you do then? Oh, wait, back up. There was something, the girl that I told you knows you through her ex-boyfriend, she mentioned something about you being involved, working, whatever, on the set of Star Trek, is that right?
Well, it was, no, not on the set, we were on the same lot.
Oh, okay.
And it was a one-year thing that shouldn't, at that point, was dead. And then all the people who loved it started talking, and it came back forever.
Yeah, really? Did you meet any of the people from Star Trek?
Yeah, at lunch.
Oh, really? Okay. So you got to see those people?
Yeah, I used to have lunch with the director, with the guy who invented Star Trek once a week.
Really? Gene Roddenberry? Gene Roddenberry, is that the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had lunch with him?
Yeah.
How was he?
Very nice. We started because he was a producer, a director, and he couldn't figure out which part was striking.
Oh, they were always striking, yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. So you had some, your memories of Los Angeles are...
Oh, yes.
All positive?
Yes, I liked most towns. I like big towns. This is my first small one.
Okay, so you worked in Los Angeles for all those years. Where'd you go next?
We went to Australia for a year. My husband was making short films for Sydney and the district.
Uh-huh.
And we spent there a year. And on the way back, we were going to stay for 3 weeks in Hawaii, and we stayed for 10 years.
Now, this is after Hollywood?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said your husband. I thought you divorced your husband.
I got divorced. I've been 50. In 58, I married again.
Oh, you married your second husband then?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm going to presume things were happier with your second husband than your... Okay.
We were married for 29 happy years. Then he died.
That's a long stretch.
But a good one.
Yes, I'm sure. So you went to you were in Australia, and you wound up stopping in Hawaii, and you stayed there for 10 years. And you really liked Hawaii.
Loved it.
Yeah. Tell me about Hawaii.
The weather is perfect.
We were in Honolulu.
Oh,
in Hawaii.
And so the weather's perfect. What else? What's so great about Hawaii?
I had a very nice job. And life was interesting. I got into politics. And
really? What did you do?
Well, I started... I wanted the... There weren't buses. They picked up the garbage at 5 in the morning. That was all I wanted. I was in it for 9.5 years. I accomplished a great deal. But when I left, the buses were still going at 5 in the morning.
So what was your role as a politician? Were you in an office?
I was mainly interested in the city.
Okay, so did you hold an office?
No. I just got things done.
You were politically minded.
It was purely accidental.
Yeah, but you were an activist. So you went from your women's lib attitude in 1940, and when you moved to Hawaii years later, you were...
It was really just because I wanted those buses to stop.
Right. Well,
I didn't want anything else. And in Hawaii, politics is personal. So you do things for people and they do it for you. It got interesting. But when I left, they were still going at 5 in the morning.
Wow.
I hadn't accomplished the one thing that I wanted to do.
You wanted them to go later or what? You wanted them not to be there at 5 in the morning? You wanted it to be done later in the day or what?
I wanted them to be downtown first and then in the outlying districts afterwards.
Okay.
It never worked.
Sorry. You tried.
I tried.
You can only do what you can do. okay, so your husband and you were in Hawaii for 10 years.
And then went back to do his own shorts and worked for Universal until
Universal?
He died, yeah.
Okay. And what was he doing at Universal?
Whenever he worked for Universal, he was moving all the famous furniture way up the hill. He had to go back to UCLA to take courses to be able to do that. Because those things weren't built to be moved.
Right. So scenery he was involved with, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. I presume he enjoyed it or wouldn't have gone back to school.
Yes.
Yeah.
He enjoyed whatever he did.
Okay. And...
I was retired. When I got back from Hawaii, I was retired.
Yeah. So he was doing things with scenery. What were you doing while he was doing that? Were you laying out on the beach?
I was retired.
I know, but what were you doing? Were you hanging out on the beach?
I have no idea.
You were happy that you were retired.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how long did you stay in California then?
He died in 87.
Uh-huh.
We got back in 80.
And then, so he died in 87. Then where did you stay there? Or?
I stayed there a few years and then moved to Las Vegas.
Really?
It was the only place I could think of where we had no connection.
Huh.
Neither of us was interested in Las Vegas.
Right.
Or gambling. So I moved there and I was there until I came in here.
How was Las Vegas?
Fine.
Yeah?
I would have stayed there if they had anything comparable. Now they do, but it's not affordable.
Yeah, it's, every place is so expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I can live anywhere.
And so you moved here when? To Rapid City?
01.
Oh, so you've been here a while.
But I've been coming here since 1980 because our closest friends are here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how do you like the Black Hills?
Love it.
You do? Why?
Totally different.
Okay. So now let's talk about, you're retired. See, I need to get information so I'll know what to do when I'm your age. What do you do? How do you fill your time?
Now?
Yeah.
Let's see. I swim. I go out for lunch. I go out to movies. There's things going on here.
This is a nice place.
It's a very nice place.
It's a very big, confusing place to walk around in.
And you are not the first, and you won't be the last.
I said to my wife,
I can't believe you walk in the door and you're on the fourth floor.
The woman gave us directions, and she's...
And you came here, and you're on the third.
Yeah, I...
And this building has a second floor and a fifth floor, but we don't have a first floor.
The woman said, okay, go down there, take an elevator. We wound up going to the wrong place, we're on the wrong floor, whatever. And when we were finding our way back here, I said to my wife, some lady stopped us. She was in a wheelchair. Not a wheelchair, one of those automatic things. And she said, you can really get lost around here, can't you? I said, yeah. I said, so I guess when one person living here tells another person who's living here, I'll see you at 2 o'clock. If they're 3 hours late, no one gets upset because they figured they're lost.
Most people learn.
Okay, so you leave, you know, you're not just, it would be fine if you just sat around, but you're not just sitting around.
No, I'm not sitting around.
You lead an active life.
I have a drinks with some people and dinner with some people tonight.
I noticed your wine over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're ready to party anytime.
Yeah.
That's left over from the days in Hollywood, right?
No, it's still the same one drink.
No, I... Okay. All right, let me ask you just a couple more questions. I was telling you about Frank Buckles, the oldest living World War I vet. I was talking to him, and when I got finished, he was 107. He was in a wheelchair, not all the time, but, you know, he'd get tired, so he was in a wheelchair when I interviewed him, and he was very upset. He lived on the East Coast of West Virginia, and he had a farm there, like several hundred acres. And his daughter was about my age. She was the one who brought him out here. They were honoring him at Mount Rushmore. And he was very upset because his daughter made him stop riding his tractor when he hit 105. And he was very upset about this because he figured, I can still ride, you know. So I said to him, I said, okay, you're 107. I said, I've been telling people since I'm at least 40 that I'm going to live till 100. I think George Burns first inspired me. And I thought, yeah, if he can do it, I can do it. But I asked Frank what his secret was to living to 107 and seeming to be very happy. He was very alert. And he told me his three secrets. Do you have any secrets to this longevity that you have?
One day at a time.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Frank's answer was, have a positive attitude. You have to want to live this long. And basically that, one day at a time, he said, and exercise, but not too much. You know, don't go out pumping iron every day for 2 hours. And he said, and the third thing is he has a glass of brandy every day.
A glass of what?
Brandy.
Well, I don't have a glass of wine every day, but probably 2-3 times a week. Yeah. But I like white wine. What's good for you is red wine.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah. But they also said the studies last year they released said you can drink dark red grape juice instead of wine. You can get the same nutrients.
But then you're missing that buzz.
Well, she doesn't want to get drunk.
Once in my life, and it went to my stomach. I was sick as a dog.
Yeah.
And I've never happened again.
You got drunk, you said? Yeah?
I got drunk, but it went to the stomach, not to my head.
And do you want to tell us what led up to that getting drunk or not?
I was with a group of people.
Okay.
They felt very sorry for me. That just got a little high, and I was on my second glass. And
okay, so you've learned that. You've learned to not get drunk since then.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, is there anything you want to ask that I failed to ask, Will?
No, I'm just observing your artwork, and it's quite eclectic. You can see that you have traveled, you have been around.
Yes. I never went back. I went the other way.
Don't go to the same place twice.
Well, to begin with, I don't believe in going back.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Right. And you can't often go back. I said that to someone just the other day. I said, you know, we're from New York originally, and even if I could afford to live there and wanted to live there, where I live doesn't exist anymore. I mean, the streets are still there, the houses are still there, but the neighborhood has changed.
Yeah,
you know?
Everything has changed.
So
when I was there, I loved it.
Right.
Do you remember where you lived in New York?
I beg your pardon?
Do you remember where you lived in New York?
Very close to the library.
42nd Street Library? The main library?
Not.
Or the library that looked like a castle?
The library that has the lamps.
Yeah. That's the main library.
And I lived very close to there.
Wow. So that was Midtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
The names of those lions are Patience and Fortitude.
I didn't know. I never knew.
We're from New York.
So it's still my favorite city.
Yes, my heart is there too.
Our money is here, though.
Yeah.
What little we have. Okay, well, you know, I don't think I have any other questions other than to... I do have one more question. Now, you said you swim regularly. What does that mean? What do you swim in?
We have a pool, and I swim laps.
Oh, downstairs there's a pool? Oh, my goodness. Or is it upstairs?
It's downstairs. Don't confuse her.
Okay.
You swim laps. How many laps do you swim?
I swim by the clock a half hour twice a
week.
You
swim for half an hour? How often?
Twice? Yeah, I used to swim an hour twice a week, but that was when the pool was away.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. All right.
Don't be. I swim much slower than I used to.
All right. I guess the last question then is, you're a respected elder. You've got all these, you've got a century. I hate saying I have a half century. You have a century behind you. You've been here. Two more questions. What has, in the 100 years you've been here on this earth, in this world, what has startled you the most about changes in the world?
The year in France.
What about, you know, like my grandmother died back in the 80s, and my wife and I were discussing, it must be very confusing. That was back then. She was in her 80s. For someone to have gone from just some cars and some planes to jets and on the moon, all these advances in the world. Is there anything over the past 100 years that you've been most astounded at with regard to changes?
That I used to be into science fiction, and I thought we'd have all the things that they're still talking about.
Oh, you're a little disappointed. You thought there should be more stuff.
Yeah. Much more stuff.
You know, and that's funny because I remember growing up as a kid and watching The Jetsons. Remember that cartoon, The Jetsons?
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. I thought, well, at least by the time I'm 40, we'll be flying around in cars or something.
Yeah.
It's still the same old wheel, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
all right.
If you have robots, they clean floors.
Exactly. Okay, any words of advice?
Wisdom? None.
Stop. What would you like to tell the people who are going to listen to this? People are going to be people from elementary school kids to elders younger than you are going to be hearing this sometime in the next couple of weeks. What would you like to say to them?
Each have to find your own way.